From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. This is Alan Cairns with you as we continue our study of the Ten Commandments. Today we'll be looking once more at the fifth commandment, Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This commandment is vital for the welfare of our families, our homes, our churches, and our nation. It has a pertinent message for us all, so stay tuned. Before we turn to God's Word, let me encourage you to be in touch with us. Remember that we have some ongoing resources that we offer freely to all our listeners. Let me make special mention of a couple of them. First, we have our monthly Let the Bible Speak devotional tape or CD with brief doctrinal studies, and devotional messages, testimonies, and music. And then we have the April-June issue of our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. This is an issue you won't want to miss. It deals with some of the great moral issues that confront the people of God today. Abortion on demand, euthanasia, homosexuality, the Lord's Day. It has a vibrant missionary page and a feature article on the life and ministry of a young Christian physician. That's Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine. Now you may have that or the devotional tape or CD, or indeed any of the other resources that we mention from time to time here on the program, by writing or calling us at Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. I trust that you'll make sure to be in touch with us. We look forward to hearing from you.
Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my
and in thy presence.
In March 2006, an archaeologist from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary presented to the Cleveland Museum of Natural History the results of a thrilling find he and his team had made in Israel in the summer of 2005. On the last day of the dig, at a site called Tel Zayit, about 20 miles east of Ashkelon, Dr. Ron Tappy's team discovered an ancient Hebrew alphabet carved in stone. He reported that he had assembled a team of experts to examine the script, and that they were agreed that this was the earliest example of Hebrew writing yet discovered. They were able precisely to date it to the 10th century BC, and therein lies its importance. First, it's written in the same script as early parts of the Hebrew Bible. Second, it comes from the time of Solomon. Third, there is evidence at the site of Judean defensive positions built against Philistine attack. And all this spells trouble for Bible deniers. So-called scholarly criticism of the Bible has tended to deny the historicity of 1 and 2 Kings. It is postulated that David and Solomon were mythical characters, that they never built a Judean kingdom such as the Bible describes, and that anything purporting to be written in that era actually originated in the much later Hellenistic period, for the simple reason that in the 10th century BC, the people would have been illiterate. Now we have fresh evidence that the Jews of that period were not only not illiterate, but that they built large fortifications and walls to defend their kingdom from invaders. Tappy's discovery supports the biblical teaching that David and Solomon built a powerful kingdom. It also supports the historical accuracy of the Bible, particularly 1 and 2 Kings. In Tappy's words, "Most people who have personal faith will be thrilled," and he meant by this discovery. The challenge is for revisionists who say David and Solomon didn't exist. A few comments are in order. I repeat something I have stated before when reviewing archaeological discoveries. They do not prove the Bible, nor does this one. The Bible needs no proof from men. What this discovery and others like it prove is that the speculations of infidels who masquerade as biblical scholars is far off the mark. Something else. We need not imagine that the mere discovery of factual data that show the accuracy of Scripture will deter mock scholars from attacking the Scripture and proposing far-fetched theories to discredit it. Frequently in the past, revisionist historians set out to discredit the Bible only to find that some discovery or other blew holes in their theories. A few examples. There was a time when the so-called assured results of modern scholarship assured us that King Belshazzar never existed. Daniel was wrong. King Sargon never existed. Isaiah was wrong. And even Pontius Pilate never existed. The Gospels were wrong. The fact that at every step the historic accuracy of the Bible has been demonstrated has not, however, deterred the critics, nor will it do so now. What you must understand is that it is not scholarship, but bias that drives men to oppose the Bible, and that bias is usually immune to all factual data to the contrary. So, expect the attacks on Scripture to continue. But be sure that the Bible will stand up to every attack, and it will still be standing when its critics have long since been forgotten.
Dawn of the morning and stars of the night.
Today we return to the fifth commandment and take up the duty of parents not only to instruct and provide for their children, but to discipline them according to the word of God.
Parents are to instruct. Parents are to provide. And indeed, parents are to discipline their children. They must set up biblical standards and sanctions. I realize that we live in a day when both in church and in family, the whole idea of standards is frowned upon. There's such a notion of Christian liberty that you don't have any standards at all, and if you have standards, you're a legalist. Well, let me tell you, that is so far from the truth it would be laughable if it weren't so serious. Legalism is the doctrine of obtaining righteous acceptance with God by the works of your own obedience, either in whole or in part. That's legalism. But it is not legalism to seek to conform your life in obedience to the law of God. That's sanctification. There's a world of difference. There should be standards in our homes. And there should be sanctions to impose those standards. And parents are called upon by God to be parents. They are not buddy-buddy, brother or sister to the children, however close, and I would want them to have the closest and most loving possible relationship and the most open possible relationship. But they must be there to represent God and God's word and God's law and God's standard. And parents must have the spiritual courage and faith to impose the sanctions of those standards. It's vital. You mustn't be like Eli. Eli had sons that he raised to be damned. He saw them become priests, but he still saw them damned. And the Lord put his finger on what was wrong with Eli. When his sons were going into sin, he didn't restrain them. Now, when you find that, when you read the record, you find that he did speak to them about their sin. He did speak to them, which is more than many Christian parents would do. He spoke to them. You would say he remonstrated with them about their sin. He pleaded with them not to go on in their sin. But the one thing he wouldn't do was set up the standard of God's holiness and apply the sanction of God's law. In other words, when they trampled what he said beneath their feet, he just threw up his hands and said, "What can you do?" You see a picture of many parents there? "Oh, Johnny, don't do that." And Johnny goes and does it. "What can you do? What can you do? Well, you can start by catching yourself on. That's what you can do." Christian parents must have the guts, the courage, and the faith to take God at His word, to set up the standards of not only law, but of grace. Not only of law, but of gospel. And they must impose them, not like Eli, but they must rule by the word of God, and not by the opinions and the philosophies and the psychologies of the world. In all this, they must be teaching these children to respect authority, divine and human. They must teach them God's Word. They must teach them what it is to respect this book, to respect God's house, to respect God's day. Those are very simple things that even a small child, little time out of babyhood, can grasp. Teach them these things. And then teach them God's Word. And then teach them God's grace, God's gospel. Teach them submission to divine authority. And then submission to human authority. First their own. And then that of rulers in state and in church. Now parents must not set out to squelch self-expression and the development of the individual personality in a child. But they must regulate those things by the Word of God. Let me touch on something that's very down to earth. This commandment means that parents are called upon to teach their children how to behave in relation to others. They must teach the child that he cannot always have his own way, and he can't always indulge his own pleasures. They must teach him respect for authority and how to live in relation to the authority and the rights of others. In Bible times, children called their father Lord. They bowed down, even when Solomon was king, he did this. Bowed down before his mother. They stood, as we have read in God's Word tonight, they stood when an older person would enter into their presence. Now the customs have changed, but the principle remains the same. You know what we're talking about there, of course, is what we nowadays call good manners. And good manners should not be corrupted. Someone has well said that manners are the brakes which conscience puts on the expression of the lusts of the flesh. Good manners will be like disc brakes on a vehicle that otherwise would run out of control. They teach children to have respect for and regard for the effect of their behavior on other people. Now let me deal with a very particular part of this. It's a very important thing that parents must teach their children by their discipline. And it's the need to take a long view of things. Children live for the moment. We all know that time means nothing to a child. Joan and I used to laugh when Frank was coming in from Bob Jones when he was knee-high to a grasshopper. Of course, he was knee-high to a grasshopper until he was 16. But, I mean, when he was very young, he'd come in and we'd say, well, how long did that go on for? He says, oh, about 11 minutes. Of course, he hadn't a clue what if it was 11 minutes or 11 hours. He hadn't a clue about time. Maybe a little bit like myself when I come to preach. I haven't a clue about time either. But we all know that children live for the moment. To be denied something in this moment to a child can be excruciating. That's why parents find it so difficult to deny a child. I'm sure you've seen them in Kmart or Walmart or whatever other mart you go to, and they're screaming, I want that! Oh, there it is, take it. They're only down the next day. I want that. Well, give it to him. You know, you can't say no. You can't. I'll give you a dictionary. It has big letters in my dictionary. But the agony for the child is real. It's real. It's not just simulated, though it can become simulated if it's indulged too often. But the trouble is the child lives just for the moment. He must be taught what it is to wait and to labor and even to suffer for the moment in order to achieve long-term benefit. Those old hands here from the days of Bob Jones Sr. will remember one of his famous recorded sermons on sacrificing the permanent on the altar of the immediate. We must teach children not to sacrifice permanent good for immediate pleasure or immediate indulgence. That's what a parent has got to train a child to do. Now let me be very frank with you. Parents will find that very difficult. If they themselves are living a life, for instance, where they're crushed by debt, because they could not discipline themselves to wait and see if they had an attack of the gimmies, I must have, I must have, I must have, and they can't pay. How can those parents teach children what it is patiently to endure? You can't do it. There's nobody in this world will tell the difference between walking the walk and talking the talk than a child. He knows. Again, if parents are playing fast and loose with their marriage vows, or they're giving themselves up to the indulgence of some of the other lusts of the flesh, they haven't a hope in the world of teaching their children the benefits of patient self-control. And those parents particularly who are sacrificing the eternal welfare of their souls because of momentary pleasure will communicate that disdain for heaven to their children. Jesus asked, "What will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" There are parents who are not gaining the world, they're gaining just a little piece of the world, and they're willing to risk the damnation of their soul for all eternity for that little piece of the world. But yet at the same time, they want to be able to rear their children and teach their children what it is to live with the long-term view. I tell you, it can't be done, for usually the child will not only listen to what you say, but far more importantly, he'll do what you do.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.